and gentlemen, you are now entering the Second Fleet Comics Podcast, starring Mark Clare and Rimzo Martinez.
Welcome back to the Second Print Comics Podcast, brought to you by Fox & Sons Coffee. You know, I have been called a rageful morning person by people that don't understand my uniqueness. And honestly, I don't see that, except for the people that piss me off. But you know what makes me a calm person? A calmer person, because I will not concede that I am a rageful morning person. What makes me a calm person is when I go ahead and grind up some of my favorite coffee from Fox & Sons. My favorite is the Brazilian Honey Prep. We recently went ahead and got the Tanzania Pea Berry, which is my wife's favorite. We actually have that as a cold brew in the fridge. And I don't remember what Mark typically gets. I mean, I know that he loves the Fox Den blend. What I'm trying to get at is your morning coffee routine is boring. I don't know what you drink, but I'm going to assume that if it's not Fox and Sons, you're drinking absolute shit. So let me go ahead, because I'm a man of the people, I'm going to go ahead and give you all a discount for 15% off orders of $25 or more. That's 15% off of orders of $25 or more, because you're already getting a good deal. Go to foxandsons.com. That's FOXNSONS, foxandsons.com, and use code SECONDPRINTPOD. That's second spelled out, SECOND, because I always have to spell that for myself like a first grader. Second Print Pod, to go ahead and save off the full price of your basket. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to stock up on this, especially up here in the Midwest. We've got the terrible winter that is coming very soon. I can feel it in my bones that I'm going to have to read more books and watch more Netflix than ever before as I burrow in this hellish landscape where God seems to abandon us for far too long during the year. Go ahead and hook yourself up with foxandsons.com using code SECONDPRINTPOD. Now, on to the shit that you actually care about. Florida Man Mark is doing Florida Man things outside of Florida. So we've gone ahead and drafted real Florida Man, Token Uncle Brody, to go ahead and talk about something that we brought up a couple weeks ago. We're bringing up the new Warriors. We have teased this for a while. Super patron, Kirby Club member, super producer of the show, Pimpin', Jeffrey Greek, has had us go down a 90s maelstrom with his last couple of picks. And he was on our episode recently covering Iron Man. In that series, we went ahead and, you know, got to introduce ourselves a little bit to the new Warriors. We haven't spoken about them for probably 3 years, because they jumped into the show when we were covering Maximum Carnage, all 14 issues of that hot garbage. And while we have made fun of the new Warriors, while we have brought them up, we've never actually done a new Warriors book. So my first question is, Uncle Brody, who thought that this team was a good idea in the 90s? When you saw this hit the stands back in the day, did you think to yourself, wow, I as a collector going to the store, putting my hard-earned pre-crazy inflation money of how much was this? $1. $1. Jesus. Wow. Fuck. What were you thinking?
No, man. I just – when I saw this issue, or not this issue in particular, but when I saw the new Warriors out there, I was always a little bit intrigued, because I was always into like a newer team, a new this, a new that, and they were definitely new. But honestly, when you really saw them, it was like a whole bunch of kids at recess. And they're like, hey, do you want to be friends? Hey, do you want to be friends? Let's be a group. And that's, ugh. I don't know how it stayed on as long as it did. To me, though, I did start collecting it later on when Rage and Silhouette and some other members were on the team. And there was one particular storyline that I really enjoyed. But, and we could talk about that later, but I don't know how it lasted this long over there. But I do want to say that they are kind of instrumental in the whole Civil War thing happening. So, I mean, I know it was orchestrated by other things, but if it wasn't for them mishandling that one event, and I don't want to spoil if nobody's listening.
You just like blaming things on teenagers.
That's what it is. They're useless.
I'm just saying their biggest contribution to the Marvel Universe was blowing up a city.
Yeah, entirely. And then we got, a great story arc from it. And then we also got a great movie, because Marvel Civil War is a great movie. It doesn't exactly follow, but it's still a freaking great movie.
Yeah, like if you remove the New Warriors, it's pretty decent. Because then they go ahead and they have, you know, at the time, teenage Scarlet Witch, if you could believe that she was a teenager at the time. Like they tried saying she was like 17 or something in Age of Ultron. And I'm just looking at Elizabeth Olsen. I'm like, that's not a 17-year-old girl.
No, it's not.
That's like saying what's his name? Tobey Maguire was really an 18-year-old in
Spider-Man.
But yeah, New Warriors, I remember I picked them up in 2008. I remember this because I was in Arizona for a summer. And I picked this up it used to be Phoenix Comics and Games. They no longer exist because the world is a cruel, cruel mistress. But I picked this up, and I liked Nova at the time. Nova was really popular because it was around the point where Annihilation was really big.
Oh, and that's great,
I knew about the New Warriors because I started collecting Marvel regularly, month to month, a bunch of different books, after Civil War. So Civil War was kind of like my way in, and then I kind of stayed throughout that. So I had like all these decades of backlog stuff I had to really understand.
Okay.
And for the most part, like I remember reading this thinking, wow, this is super, like super 90s. Like this is stuff I remember coming into through the cartoons and everything else. Reading this more than 15 years later, I have a different reaction. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, it's so 90s, I'm reading this, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's so 90s. And this isn't just because on the cover they say heroes for the 90s. It's a weird collection of what I would basically call Marvel's attempt to do the Teen Titans.
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. As a matter of fact, I was describing this to my sister earlier today, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They're kind of like – they're very niche, and they're kind of like Teen Titans-ish, but they suck.
They don't really see the things. And what Marvel tried saying, well, Rob Liefeld tried saying this. He tried saying that all the different X-Men spinoff books, X-Factor, everything else, he tried saying that that was in order to compete with Legion of Superheroes. Rob Liefeld has this obsession of Legion of Superheroes, and I don't get it. He tries to say that every ensemble book, especially an ensemble book of teenagers, is an attempt to copy Legion of Superheroes. I would say in terms of story, this is it. And it's not a compliment either, because not one of the Legion of Superheroes from DC, which was publishing books at the time, not one of those characters can sustain their own book. And I could say the exact same thing about New Warriors. New Warriors was a comic of characters that could not sustain their own book. Which is contrary to what I'd say about Teen Titans or New Teen Titans. Cyborg has had multiple successful runs. Nightwing is one of the most successful titles. Mm-hmm. And then you had one, Kid Flash is always over in the Flash books. I mean, the Teen Titans, particularly the New Teen Titans, when they were more adult-like, you know, Roy Harper's a druggie and everything else.
Right.
That was a cool book. And those were independently cool characters. I would say that Marvel was definitely trying to compete with Teen Titans, but they did it in like the most strange way, because let's go ahead and just judge the cover for a minute. Okay. They have them bursting out of X-Men books, West Coast Avengers books, Fantastic Four. I think that's really brash, because that's basically trying to put them on par with all of them. Even New Mutants issue one, which I think is like trying to, how do I put this? That's a bridge too far. I was going to find something really insulting, but really there's no other way to insult it. We've got Namorita, who is Namor's cousin and or a clone, depending on who you're talking to. You've got Kid Nova, which I think is stupid, because why would you downgrade yourself from Nova to Kid Nova? I never knew
he was Kid Nova. I've only known him as Nova, so that's bizarre.
That was bizarre. Then you've got Firestar, who I know from Spider-Man The Amazing Friends.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously. Then you've got Marvel Boy, Justice, maybe killed his father, maybe is a future Captain America with the Guardians of the Galaxy. No one knows what to do with
him. No one knows. Yeah.
But each time anyone wants to judge Justice or Marvel Boy, they just remind us that he's a Jewish superhero and we're not allowed to criticize him. Not my rules. That's just the internet's rules.
Not my rules.
I just abide by it. I'm a man of the people. And then we've got Night Thrasher, who is They had to create somebody cool enough to be the linchpin of them together. And I don't really have anything bad to say about Night Thrasher.
He actually looks really cool, actually, you know.
A couple weeks ago when we were covering that Iron Man story arc, Mark asked me to describe Night Thrasher, and I basically say he's Black Batman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was just going to say that.
He's Black Batman. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because it's if you know who you're trying to rip off of, rip off them well. And I have nothing negative to say. I have one negative thing, but it'll come later.
Okay.
And then we have probably the most tragic, I would say he's one of the most tragic characters ever. We have the Kenny of the Marvel Universe. We have Speedball. What has happened to Speedball in 30 years is nothing short of like really traumatic, because Speedball is basically like their Flash equivalent, but like a crackhead almost in personality. And then they have him basically be responsible for the explosion in New Haven, Connecticut, which leads to Civil War. And then they bring him back as like a sadomasochistic gimp later called in Penance.
Yep.
Which was cool. Yep. I think it's kind of cruel what they do to him, but
he was great on the video game.
Yes.
He was the most so
powerful
cool.
character. It's like, damn, man, like who are you? What are you doing? Like, I think this is cool, but should I? It's really one of those things that you judge and you don't feel comfortable with. And then they brought him back to Speedball, like 5 years after that, and everyone was just like, put him back in the suit, make him cut himself because we want to see him in pain. It's just like, I don't know how we're supposed to feel about that, but that's the ensemble that we're put with. Correct. Not even the B-listers. We are given D-listers.
Yeah. Yeah. And why does Speedball exist? I mean, besides that short time that he was Penance and he was cool then, his whole journey from this issue here all the way through whenever what he bounces. I know he does like kinetic energy type shit.
Introduced him in Amazing Spider-Man or Spectacular Spider-Man, one of the Spider-Man titles at the time, because they couldn't actually take one of the good writers from there and put them here. And they basically were like, this guy was meant to be a throw-off character. Well, let's just use him because they used all of their capital of goodwill to create Night Thrasher, who is genuinely interesting for being a Batman type.
Yeah.
But then they were just like, you know, Speedball exists. We might as well save ourselves some time, you know, photocopying poorly, you know, DC characters. We might as well just bring him because we have him.
So, like with Speedball, like, have you ever seen that movie when you were younger? I mean, this is a kid's movie. It's called Over the Hedge.
Yeah, why do you think my nickname growing up was RJ?
Oh, my God, I didn't know. So
Speedball. I had to make all the white people around me comfortable with a potential Mexican. So I was like, no, it's RJ, because I can't expect you to say my name properly.
Yeah, I don't know. Speedball is the squirrel.
He's
Steve Carell. He's the squirrel. That's all we need to know about Speedball. We don't even need to bring him up the rest of the comic book. Just think the squirrel once from over the hedge, and that's it. Yeah. What's that?
Once you know that, you don't need to know anything else.
You're done. Ball game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and jump into this mess because
I'm not gonna
spoil my score, but like I'm gonna really trash it. But folks, I chose this for a reason. Let's just go ahead and say that.
Right.
Go ahead and start off with, and this is how you know they're really trying to leverage their goodwill. Almost all the new books at Marvel at the time, even after Stan Lee went ahead and left Marvel in a formal capacity, starts with Stan Lee Presents. Not many of them have Stan Lee Presents as big as this issue, because I went and looked at Darkhawk, who's my favorite Marvel teenage hero from the 90s, and pretty small, but they start with that. So here they're really trying to say, listen, if you liked all the others, you'll like it because Stan Lee's name is on here, though Stan Lee was probably like, what the hell is a Speedball?
Hey, interesting fact, Darkhawk was a New Warrior at one point.
Because New Warriors is dying and Darkhawk is popular, and they had to bring Darkhawk over.
That's what it was. At one point, they had like 25 members. It's like, why?
And they're crossing them over so that way they could be like, see, you like this character, so here are the new Warriors. Every time the new Warriors pop up, and we saw this in Maximum Carnage, and we saw this in the recent Iron Man storyline, nobody likes them. They turn all the heroes, including Spider-Man, into boomers. They're like, these damn kids. Whereas when the Titans show up, they're like, oh, the Titans are here. With the new Warriors, it's just like they're going to kill everybody or something.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But, you know, this starts off with Night Thrasher holding a man off the building, and we're in Queens, and he's basically being all intimidating. So he's really trying to play the anti-hero angle. He's wearing armor. He's got a freaking blade coming out of his armor, which is crazy, and he's holding this kid by the neck. So he's asking him, are you not Richard Rider? And the guy's just freaking out. He's like, yeah, I am. So then he drops him. He's dropping him here, and we think that he's going to fall to his death. And as he's screaming, we see Richard's eyes start to glow. And out of nowhere, he starts flying. He starts flying, and he's like, what? You know, I used to be Nova. How'd you know I could get my powers back? And Night Thrasher is like, I didn't. So I'm going to just go ahead and criticize this right here. At the beginning, we have a new character. We have no clue who he is.
Right.
And then we have Kid Nova, which I don't know when the kid part happened, but he looks more like an adult with that 5 o'clock shadow. And, you know, if I had no clue what I was going into reading this, I would have no clue what just happened. I would just think that this crazy black guy in armor attacked this random dude in Queens. And I would start thinking like, Marvel, like, what are you insinuating? But like, it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, I have no clue what's going on. And they have had no context whatsoever. I didn't even know how he lost his power. So I don't like how they introduced Night Thrasher. I think it pays off a little bit later. I don't like how they introduce him. And I certainly don't like how they reintroduced Nova. I think this is also really weird. So from here, he starts freaking out. He starts screaming at him. He's like, man, you could have killed me. So he starts fighting Night Thrasher. Night Thrasher is no joke. He starts like beating the shit out of him really fast. And then he's like, listen,
really fast.
I want something from you. Like he's like, no shit. He's like, I'm going to get straight to the point. So just right there, we're introduced to Night Thrasher for the first time. And we have no clue what's up with this dude. And we get a reintroduction to Kid Nova in a way, which I don't think is very strong on both. Just from that intro to those two characters in the book, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is something that I could probably keep going and reading, or man, like this is probably too much for me, assuming you're like a new reader at the time?
I don't think this is something that I could keep reading if this is the first time I'm reading it. I mean, it's just nothing is like shared, nothing, you know, nothing, you know. Now, again, it's a new book and stuff like that, but oh my God. I mean, you figured that we all know that Nova ends up being one of the most powerful beings in the universe at one point, especially during Annihilation and everything. But the way he is owned by Night Thrasher on here, one hand, boom, owned. It's like, and Night Thrasher can hold up a full grown kid Nova with one hand.
Well, remember, he is Black Batman. So assuming the same rules apply, this is like Batman versus anybody. Who wins the fight? Batman.
Oh my God. No, so I mean, reading through this and everything, it's like it just too much like, what is this? Oh, I got my powers. What? Who the hell are you? How do you know what? Powers? What? Yeah, it's not very strong. It doesn't start off strong at all.
No, and now things get weirder because then we go ahead and jump over the next morning to Manhattan. We go ahead and see I know him as Justice.
Okay,
I know him as Justice, but at this point, he was Marvel Boy.
Right.
What's Horrible his relation man. To Marvel? Not really there. What's his origin? That's kind of all over the place. When do people know him? And what I find is
when in time?
When in time?
True. Like, when in time do they know you?
This is like some Doctor Who stuff, but with none of the logical continuity loopholes that they make up every couple of years. So we see Marvel Boy going to the Avengers mansion, and he's just rolling in with his telekinetic powers and everything with his stupid costume. And, you know, he's attacked.
This is an awful costume.
This is just bad, but this is very like vintage 90s. Like I'm not trying, like in the age of Rob Liefeld adding pockets to everything. And, you know, everyone having just like muscles on muscles. Like this is just like, we got lazy. So let's just go ahead and do a few shades of blue. And there you go. Yeah. So he goes ahead and he's getting attacked by the Avenger security system, which is basically a whole bunch of like metallic arms and
like Dr. Ock arms.
Yeah. And they just completely like tie him up. And I also think that's freaking crazy because he has super strength, levitation, sometimes flight, and telekinesis. Yet he can't force anything back and they immediately take him down. So what we know is that this is Marvel Boy pre a lot of other shit where he gets stronger. And what we do know is that this takes place at a point in time where he has to have been introduced to the Guardians of the Galaxy first, because this machine pops out basically reading off his profile. And it's like, this is Vance Astro. He's affiliated with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And yeah, it's just really weird, especially since like, and we've covered Guardians issues that had Marvel Boy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's nowhere near this freaking week. So I don't know when the downgrade happens, but that happened. So Captain America comes out.
Right.
And he knows who he is. And Ben Grimm basically wrote him a letter of recommendation to join the Avengers potentially. And they, you know, they commiserate over that. Long story short, Captain America's like, listen, man, yeah, you're too young for the Avengers, so you should probably leave. I don't think it's really because he's too young. I think it's because he saw him get taken down by their security and he was just like, I can't have this. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, that's basically it. So at the beginning of this, we basically know that Night Thrasher is scary.
Right.
Kid Nova is basically like emasculated within 5 seconds of getting his powers back. And Vance Astro is weak as hell and embarrassed himself in front of Captain America.
Right, right.
So he just kind of takes that.
So out of the three, only one is kind of cool. The other two are just weak sauce straight up.
Immediately.
You know, you're not worth a damn thing.
Yeah. And to make things, you know, keep moving, because we have to introduce everybody in this issue or else people will definitely not buy the others, because who wants to see this continue?
Right.
We see him like, you know, basically like he's flying through the city and he's, you know, just mad. And he's just, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of like stupid like stuff here, because Marvel used to be really good about giving you references to other issues that characters reference. Like, I don't know how Kid Nova lost his powers, but somehow he did. I don't know who Joseph Heller is, who Marvel Boy, whatever they want to call him right now, is blaming stuff on. He's like, this is all Joseph Heller's thing. I have no clue who it is, and I don't care enough to know, because this character's boring. But luckily, we don't have to care about them at all, because we need the story to progress. He flies over the top of a building, and suddenly he sees Night Thrasher and Kid Nova, and he's just like, hey, who are you? And he's like, my name's Night Thrasher. I want you to join this group. Do you? And that's just like the most like random way to invite somebody. It's like, hey, stranger, want to join my club? If some person like looking like Night Thrasher said that to me, I wouldn't immediately just like go with him. I'd be like, man, this is kind of freaking weird.
Right. So, absolutely.
So they gotta leave that. Next thing you know, we go to this ground soil contamination disaster. And basically, this is where we're introduced to Namorita. Namorita is like a reporter, lobbyist, eco-terrorist. I don't know what they want to describe her as, because they don't really do much to describe her. And she's here basically being, you know, an environmental activist criticizing how this big corporation has just basically screwed up everything around here. We can just blame evil corporations for doing evil shit.
Right.
So suddenly, that's it. And we kind of leave it there. There's no point in reading into that, because they don't really read into that. But now what they've done is they've gone ahead and take us down to Midtown Manhattan. And, you know, Kid Nova is just like, you live here by yourself, big penthouse, expensive place. And he's like, no, Marvel Boy, I have two legal guardians. And basically, this is where we're introduced to the rich man's bat cave, which is not in the cave. It's in a big building. And now we're introduced to Black Alfred and his Asian wife.
Yeah.
This is where we meet Cord. And I don't know this lady's name. Basically, to save everyone some time, Night Thrasher's parents were killed like Batman. And he was put in the care of Cord, who I think is his cousin, and this Asian lady who taught him Kung Fu, because they have to lean into the stereotypes. It's the 90s. And, you know, they're basically trying to assemble a team to do the stuff that the Avengers want. So right here, what do you think about the fact that they've basically just redone Batman? Because they cannot deny that this is them trying to make you think, if maybe people think he's like Batman to the T, maybe they'll give all these other loser characters a chance.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make this team somehow credible by making this guy, Night Thrasher, be more like a, like, yeah, like you said, like a Batman type of guy. Again, like you said, the Batcave in the penthouse, all high-tech computer stuff, at least for the 90s. And he's got his two people there with him. And, oh, he's recruiting teams and everything. He must be one hell of a salesman, because he just talked to two people in 2 seconds and, yeah, I'll join your team. Yeah, I'm all in. Hey, come to my house, guys. Come on. Come upstairs. Nobody's going to bother you there. We got this. And we're all supposed to be teenagers. So
save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, come on up and, meet my grown-up uncle and his Asian wife. They want to talk to you. It's like, what the hell is all this about?
Somebody call Corey Feldman. Something doesn't feel right about this.
Oh my God. Man, you know what? It really is just pretty amazing how he got them up to his penthouse and everything. But yeah, the similarities are ridiculous. I mean, it is that's the point. They're trying to create a Batman in Marvel.
Yeah, and what's crazier is he's even got his own identity crisis moment or whatever, Tower of Babel moment, like what Batman will get later, where he's basically got profiles on everybody and he's got like all the technology and all the espionage shit in the world. So he's trying to explain to Nova how him and Cord found everybody and found their secret identities. And then he's like, oh yeah, I hacked the Fantastic Four system. So it's like, oh, so he's like Batman, he can get into anything.
Right.
It's like, well, how'd you know it could restore my powers? And he's like, because X, Y, and Z. Oh, so he's smarter than everybody, like Batman.
Right.
And then, you know, he just keeps kind of rubbing it in. So it's like, I get it. If he, and this is where they really have to make him, like, he's Batman, but for the 90s. He's black. Right. He's in a way sleeker costume with similar gadgets, but way deadlier. And right. I'll just go ahead and spoil this now. Have you noticed what's on his back?
What?
It's that a...
Oh, yeah, right.
So to remind you also that he's a teenager in the 90s who's way more hardcore than Batman and his Batmobile, he has a skateboard.
That's right. It's a skateboard.
Yeah. So I'm not hating. I'm just saying, like, and later it pays off because Night Thrasher is freaking cool.
Yes.
But if I was reading this for the first time with very little knowledge, I'd be thinking, damn, Marvel must be struggling.
Yeah. No, so, I totally agree with you, man. That's dead on.
So now the next person the next couple people they're going to recruit are Firestorm and Speedball. And they basically get her on by just giving her a phone call, which I think is ridiculous. That's it. And then they meet Speedball because his mom went to work and he's just going around town doing his own thing. So right here, I don't know if this was not Firestar's first appearance. She was
in New Mutants. She was a Hellion in the Hellion Club under the White Queen.
Yeah. So that was her. That was her first appearance in the comics.
Yeah. Yeah,
because she was created specifically for Spider-Man, his amazing friends.
Yeah.
So I always like Firestar. I think she's incredibly underrated.
Yeah.
They bring her in and, you know, Night Thrasher is basically like, you know, pseudo threatening her to show up.
It's great, you know? too.
Yeah. 30 minutes. I know who you are.
Yeah. he's not friendly. At least Batman would show up in person. He's just not really doing great. And then we have Robbie, whose mom is going off to work. So he's just going to go around and with his mullet and everything, like one of the Lost Boys do his own thing. And then we go back to Queens and we have this like giant, like environmentally friendly tractor thing that's eating like this. I don't know if it's just because of how it looks or because I'm just not very sophisticated when it comes to my 90s line art, but basically this thing is supposed to like clean up all the pollution and radioactive contamination.
Right, in the dirt, yeah.
But what it ends up doing is it ends up bringing this alien named Terax back to life. So he's been trapped here. Why? I don't know. How long has he been here? We don't care. What do we need to know about him? His name is Terax, because just like every 90s villain, he has to scream his name.
So, but you know, guy is sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. This guy is he's a herald of Galactus. I don't know if he's a herald at this time.
Not this time.
No.
If he's in this book as a herald as Galactus, he is struggling for work.
That's crazy.
And I mean, he's just he becomes it later because he has to replace the Silver Surfer, but he's there just in time for Namorita to save everyone. But now we're back at some other building in Manhattan, and as they're all waiting for Firestar, she shows up and she's just mad as hell because she's like, how'd you figure out who I am and everything? And he says the one thing you never want to say to a woman, which is calm down. And at this point, he gives his sales pitch again, and before he can really do much, they hear a giant explosion. So what do you do when you have all these heroes together and hear a giant explosion? Well, you don't have to wonder much because they immediately go out to Queens to figure out what's going on. And just right here, I mean, how they bring everyone in, such little interaction, such little motivation. It's really a who's who of how many people can I just randomly dial on my 90s phone and hope that they are there to pick it up in that moment.
The one panel that I do like and during this whole thing is when Firestar is first introduced and she does one of those heat blasts and it's through like a huge concrete block or whatever. And Marvel Boy and Kid Nova are like putting their heads in the hole and they're like, oh my God. Woo. Besides that, it's just like, hey, how are you? Again, kids in the playground. Hey, you want to play? You want to be friends? You want to be friends? You want to be friends? Yeah, let's go. Let's be in the team. It's horrible.
Yeah, and speaking of horrible, we have some mindless exposition. Finally, somebody's explaining something. Namorita is fighting Terax, and she's giving us an internal monologue where she's like, oh, the Fantastic Four fought him. They must have trapped him there or something, which if that's the reason, I'm thinking like, damn, like Reed Richards is really getting lazy. He's leaving Skrulls in caves. He's leaving Skrulls as cows. He's leaving people in the negative zone. Then he's like, this alien, let's just bury him.
Let's just bury him.
And let's not even put like a, you know, something above it, like anything else to stop maybe this corporation who's spilling more radioactivity here, because that's the other thing that they, I don't remember when they mentioned it, but basically because this company spilled radiation here, they had to clean it up, but because they thought that, oh, it's already radioactive, so let's just dump more. It really shows you how much they think of Queens. And then as they're digging it up, they dig up this guy, and it's just like, It's a rough day in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So Namorita's fighting him. And then what he's basically trying to do is he's trying to find like his axe of vengeance, which is 90s as hell. Right. So he goes and digs into the ground. And he pulls it out. And suddenly, you know, it's like, oh, okay. He's like a poor man Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, we have Robbie Speedball, who is, you know, I don't know if he's going to go lift some TVs or what. But he's just walking around being a delinquent teenager. And suddenly as he's watching the news and he sees all this happen, he's like, well, you know, I might as well go ahead and get involved in this. So he turns into Speedball by hitting the floor because he walks into, I thought it was a person in a wheelchair. No, it was somebody
carrying carts or whatever.
So he falls down. Instantly he turns into his costume. And then he's like, Speedball, the Masked Marvel. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just like, you are the 90s, Speedball.
Yeah.
You are the 90s.
Yeah, no, I always hate how he got his powers going. Let me throw myself up against the wall. Boom. Oh, okay, I'm ready to go. And my uniform will magically appear.
That was a big 90s thing. And I don't know who started it, because I think who really started it was Shazam, was Captain Marvel, because he could just say that and immediately he turns into that. But later it gets to the point where it's like everyone can just do or say something and their costumes like suddenly appear.
Yeah. Like I remember the old school Wonder Woman with Linda Carter, she'd spin and boom, she turned to Wonder Woman. She'd have her outfit. But even like in the Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Firestar would also like kind of like spin whatever and boom, she'd be in like straight up Firestar outfit.
Yeah, and it's like, how is that happening? It's not like they're moving so fast that they're like changing in front of us, and if we slow-mo it, we could see it. But somehow, you know, getting into wardrobe was a superpower in and of itself. Yeah.
That was part of your thing, part of your niche.
Yeah, so all of them head over to Queens, where Terrax is just being terrifying as hell. And you have the D-listers go out, and they don't really have a plan. So Night Thrasher is just like mansplaining to Firestar, go ahead and take out the axe. And I mean, notice how he goes to her first. It's like, I would have just brought in Firestar for this. Like, who needs the others? Right. Because, you know, Marvel Boy is there on cleanup, and Kid Nova isn't here for another couple pages. So Terrax is just like, you know, yelling at them and everything. And this is where we see the skateboard. We're looking at this through the Marvel Unlimited app. This is on page 18. We see the skateboard, and it's like, I'm sorry. Everything cool about him dies in this minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as a teenager, I thought, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. Looking at this now, I'm like, I can't believe somebody thought that this is how you're going to make him relate to people. You have this grown-ass man-child, Batman copy, on a skateboard. And it's just like, as he is just going against this alien, this is what makes sense to people.
Yeah.
And that's what takes me out of it. I'm like, I am pro Night Thrasher throughout this. He's cool.
Right, right.
He's got, you know, blades in his freaking gauntlets and
which
stuff.
Which is great.
He can stalk people, which would be great in the 21st century. But then they pull out the skateboard, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
And notice that he's skateboarding on dirt. For all of us who have skateboarded before, that's not working out. You're not going to be able to do that. But yeah, no, I totally agree. This is a really, really bad turn. And it's bad because he's skateboarding, and then he's doing like a little smoke pellet. So it's like, I'm Batman on a skateboard. And he's hitting Terrax with all this stuff. But yeah, it's it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't work.
No. And then we have to have more comic relief. Namorita comes in the next page and starts picking up Terrax. And I have to remember, she has the exact same powers as the Submariner. So she has the flight, the super strength and everything else. So she's like lifting him up, and he's like screaming as he's about to, like, I don't know, reach for her or something. But as she throws him, Kid Nova sort of flies down to, like, you know, turn into like a human missile to like fly into him. And he's like, look out, babe. And next thing you know, Namorita's internal monologue is back. She's the only one that really seems to have it other than Justice in this entire issue. He's like, why did Terrax scream like that? Because it's kind of weird. She wasn't going to do anything to really hurt him in that moment. She's trying to get him away, but he starts screaming, and then Kid Nova comes down. So she's like, why did Terrax scream like that? And why did that punk risk suicide by calling me babe? Literally the only funny line in this entire book.
Facts.
So now Speedball suddenly arrives as Terrax is
oh, good.
You know, finally back. And he's just like ricocheting off of him, not really doing much. And everyone is just kind of looking at Speedball like, what the hell? So what's the next page? Astro is basically using all the kinetic energy from Speedball using his bubble field, which, okay, I guess that's his thing now, because he can't
say force field or something.
And basically he's taking all the kinetic energy that Speedball is gathering. And this is really weird, because if I were Speedball, I think this guy's trying to kill me. He's not explaining anything to him. They have been here for 5 seconds, and he uses him as a human weapon, which, looking at this now, is very foreshadowing. And he basically uses him to create like a force gun to blast him with all of Speedball's powers. And
right.
at this point, Terax is like brutally mutilated. He looks like he's charred, to which I'm like, damn, this is why no one trusts the New Warriors, because they will straight up like set their opponents on fire.
Fire.
And, you know, now everyone is finally getting over to Terax. And at the very end, Kid Nova and Namorita, they basically figured out that Terax is taking in kinetic energy in a similar way to Speedball. So what they do is they throw him as far into the sky as possible and allow him to explode.
Right.
So first they burn him alive.
Right.
And then they're basically like, let's just go ahead and let him blow up. And then at the very end of this is they're just like looking around and they're like, oh my gosh, like we just killed him. Night Thrasher is just like, yeah, you don't have to worry about that though. We can just go ahead and blame this evil corporation. And then the evil corporation goes ahead and basically says, yeah, you know, it was our radiation that was making him stronger. So he was always going to blow up. So don't worry about what you did. We'll just take the blame for it, which is the biggest example of corporate responsibility I've ever seen, which
right?
is why I know this is fiction. And, you know, because they have to show up at the right time, we see the Avengers appear
right.
to like take the credit for everything. We see Kazar, She-Hulk, and Captain America, and they're like, good work, kids, but the Avengers will take over now. And they're all like offended by it, as now the Avengers are doing cleanup. So all these characters, and suddenly Speedball, he wasn't invited, but he's going to force himself into everything. They're basically like, you know, we did a pretty good job by only destroying half the city and making this guy into a living bomb. We should team up. And Night Thrasher gives his own, you know, like condescending speech, which is the most Batman thing he does. He's like, we don't need the Avengers. I would have preferred just the four people I recruited, but we can right. do this on our own. We can be a team. We can fight the kind of crime they never touch. We can make a difference and help people. Are you with me? And then they all put their hands in the middle. And to just make it as corny as possible, Speedball is the one that comes up with the name. He's like, huh, I heard a reporter call us something cool. How about the New Warriors? And I'm just like, you've got to be shitting me. Not only did Night Thrasher at least get half of this part right, according to his plan, but he didn't even come up with a name, and he just agrees with them. He's like, yeah, you know, that's it. End of discussion. And the last speech bubble from the narration is, and the beginning of a legend.
The well, end. Yeah.
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 You know, I take back what I said at the beginning. I think I'm giving this a lot lower of a score than I thought.
Yeah, I think I'll give this the lower score I've ever given anything.
Oh, my gosh. So just before we get into grading.
Yeah.
Just your thought. Is this just because I'm looking at this issue through modern eyes? Or is this bad even by 90 standards? Because to the show's credit, we've covered a long range of really mm-hmm. good stuff from the 90s and really bad stuff from the 90s.
No, I collected a lot of stuff during the 90s, early 90s, mid, late. And this is bad. This is bad. I don't, you know, I am not, I'm not looking at this through a modern lens. This is a bad issue. This is a really bad debut premiere issue. I mean, it's like, you're supposed to blow my mind, and this is just bad. I don't know how many different teams or books they had going on at this time. Maybe this is one of those times that there was a surplus and they were like, boom, let's just put every idea out there. I'm not sure, but this is fucking bad. Sorry.
This is definitely a book for teens written by people who don't know teens.
That's really well put. That's really well put.
That's the only way I can think of it. Let me go back to the first page. I want to see who actually did this, because I don't think I mentioned it at the beginning.
All right.
I gotta actually swipe through everything.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see, because we know that they used all the Goodwill Stanley. This is written by Fabian.
Fabian, what?
Fabian Nicieza.
He wrote this.
Well, what really surprises me, this is I don't know if this is the same. Is this the same Mark Bagley? Like,
I do you know another?
No. If this is Mark Bagley, then this is Mark Bagley's worst art. He must have like just been starting out.
Yeah, this must have just been starting.
Because Mark Bagley's my favorite Spider-Man.
Oh wow.
Artist. He's one of my favorite artists. So if this is Mark Bagley, this is definitely like early Mark Bagley before he has his own signature style. Because this is very 90s generic.
Yeah, I think this must have been here you go, kids, your first crack at a debut. Don't fuck it up.
And we're giving you the characters you can afford to fuck up. Let's correct that. These are the ones that if you messed it up, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Might even do us a favor.
Nobody cares. So, yeah, man, and it's just really sad how bad this is. It's really sad how bad this is. Because I'll really quick anecdote here, a really quick comment. In the late 90s, New Warriors had – their issue was pretty, pretty good, and they had a hero called Rage, okay? And now Rage, he's like a 13-year-old boy. They got toxic waste on him, whatever, and then he has the body of like a – 25-year-old, he's like super
basically
strong.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah, he's like Mike Tyson, exactly.
He's so Mike Tyson pre-Islam.
He goes. So what happens is in this issue, and it had Silhouette, it had everybody that I mentioned earlier had in it. And what happened is some Japanese warlord or whatever found out their identities and started killing off their families. So it was really cool, right? Damn. And in one of these issues here, one of the last issues, one of the bad guys' name is called Shinobi or something like that. That's in a video game. I don't know what his name is. And Rage is so like jacked up, like just almost roided out, that the guy's like in an anime like robot, whatever. He rips a robot open and he grabs him by the neck. And because this guy, Shinobi, had killed his grandmother. And Night Thrasher's there's like, hey, don't do it, don't do it. And he looks at Night Thrasher and he snaps the guy's neck.
Damn.
So it was really like,
oh,
holy
because
shit.
Rage goes to jail after that.
Yes, Rage goes to jail.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And and there was another panel also that he gets released from jail in another issue. And I don't know, Night Thrasher threw him, takes him somewhere. And then Rage is just, it's like a full page of Rage just like on his knees crying because of his grandma and everything. So I was like, this is New Warriors? I mean, this you guys are getting kind of deep. But obviously, there was a lot of evolution towards that.
A lot.
Because this had no substance. This is. Whatever.
I mean, Ben Reilly as Spider-Man ends up joining the New Warriors. Like,
yes,
he's got
does.
Some good stuff. Like, at one point, when he becomes Justice, when Marvel Boy becomes Justice, him and Firestar get married. They actually are recruited to join the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
When they came back from the Pocket Universe during the Heroes Reborn era.
Okay.
You know, Rage ends up joining the Avengers too, I think a little bit before this, during Acts of Vengeance, if I remember. And then, I mean, there are good New Warrior stories that come way after this. It's just that with this, like, this is a really weird – it's really weird when you have a team that you like that starts off so poor. And I'm just going to go ahead and – rate this based off this issue alone, because I like the characters, and you know, eventually Night Thrasher dies and Cord turns out to be a bad guy. Like, there's a lot of subterfuge and stuff later.
Yeah.
The New Warriors have not been a thing for a while, but you know, there are good stories, and sometimes they're made to be poked at, and sometimes they actually have some really good stuff. So let's just go ahead and rate this just on this. We're covering artwork and story. You can go ahead.
So which one do you want to go for? Am I doing both or you want to go back and forth?
Go ahead and do both.
Okay. One.
For story?
One. So I will never read this book in my life ever again. This book is hot garbage. It is. And now we're basing this off of this one issue.
Yeah.
This one issue. This is just really... This is really bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, one.
Okay. I'm gonna give this because I can never go lower than a one for each. For story and for artwork. I'm gonna give the artwork a two because he's better than me. And I know it's Mark Bagley, which is so weird, but it's better than me. It gets the job done. I can imagine 20 other artists doing this. I'm gonna give the artwork a two because if it's better than me, which I think I could do line work like this. I'll go ahead and give it a two. For story though, I'll go ahead and give it a one because it's just paint by the numbers. It's yeah, not even yeah. consistent. There's so much in and out of
yeah.
context stuff. I would see this being hard for anybody. So altogether, we're giving this 1 + 3. We're giving this a 4 out of 20. Do not read this. We went ahead and did you a favor.
You know what? Honestly, the only good thing about this book is the Night Thrasher moments. If he can get over the skateboarding to attack, you know, a cosmic entity, if he can get over that, you know, hey, use what you got, right? But the Night Thrasher suit, the how badass he is, how condescending he is, how kind of like it just Night Thrasher is the only thing that's kind of worth anything in this whole damn book. Anything. Yeah. So number four. Is that your lowest ever?
Yes. I'll just assume you gave it like a 0 for art and they put words together and had no misspelling. It's a 1 for
I just it was a half-half because it just
– Half-half, so yeah. 0.5 for both. Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Don't read this. We read it for you.
Don't read it.
Well, Uncle Brody, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, man.
I've got Jet, folks. Please remember, we're doing our summer giveaway. I think this is the last week to do it. Y'all helped me raise $1,300 for Tap Cancer Out earlier in the summer. So as a thank you, we're doing our big summer promotion event. If you join our Patreon at $5 or higher, or if you're a current patron, you upgrade your level, you'll go ahead and get a signed poster from either Mark or myself. And I'll take $1 for every person that takes part in this. I'll add 10% and I'll give a donation out of pocket to the Gary Sinise Foundation, my favorite charity that helps veterans and their families, sports scholarships and other things that, you know, can go towards our military community. So go ahead and take advantage of that until August 31st. Until then, it's short, it's sweet, it's simple. It's way more catchy than "these are the heroes of the 90s. It's read comics and change the world. Good night, America.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.